Jesus' name, amen. Well, my sermon today is titled Keys to Prayer. One of my favorite quotes is that prayer is the key in the morning and the deadbolt at night, reminding us that we should be praying morning and night and morning, day and night. God says pray without ceasing, right? And so prayer is an important part of life with any of us. In the Gospel of Matthew, verses 7 through 11 in chapter 7, Jesus invites the church to pray and that our fellowship with God is through His Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, that our fellowship, that its expression, Alistair Begg likes to say it's the principal expression of our faith. Now, that says something about our faith and how strong it is or how maybe needing help it is, that it's a growth area for a lot of us. Because it's really hard, it's a mystery. There's a little bit of a mystery about prayer. That prayer is our opportunity to have face-to-face fellowship with God. And if you think about what Jesus said, that He intercedes on our behalf, that we have a prayer partner in Jesus Christ. That He's always wanting to intercede on our behalf. And sometimes we feel like that maybe He's not up there watching our situation at the time. So when we think about prayer, many people struggle with prayer and they feel God is far away and they're not sure He's listening. We do have to say that there is some mystery about it. In his book titled, Has Christianity Failed You?, Ravi Zacharias states, prayer is far more complex than some make it out to be. There is much more involved than merely asking for something and receiving it. And hence I say that ironically because today we are seeing Jesus say, ask, seek, knock, that you will receive if you ask. And so, but there's more to it than just the surface level understanding of it. That for every person who feels that prayer has not worked for them and therefore God has abandoned them, what do you say to there's someone else for prayer who remains a vital part of their life, sustaining them in their prayers have gone unanswered. Even though their prayers have gone unanswered, their belief and trust is not only in the power of prayer, but in the character and wisdom of God. But listen to me. It's very important that we hear this because I've experienced what Ravi Zacharias talks about, that he sat with a man in a car, a man who was expressing heartbreak over experiences that he's had in his life, with his family, with his professional life, in his job, and praying about things and God not seemingly answering. But that he did his part, after all, that he had prayed for it. And that God, apparently, to this man, didn't hold up to his end of the bargain. So Ravi Zacharias talks about that he felt two emotions, and I'm sure you relate to this when you've been with other people and they've asked you to pray for them, or you're beside somebody's sickbed, and you're in a hospital room, or there's something dire that has happened, and you are trying to encourage them to pray. Zacharias says, when he sat there beside this man, he says, I felt two emotions rising up within me as I listened. The first one was of genuine sorrow. He felt that he had tried, that he had done his part, but that God hadn't lived up to his end of the bargain. The second emotion was one of helplessness, as I wondered where to begin trying to help him. You ever felt that? Have you ever thought, I'm going to offer prayer here in the midst of dire circumstances, and yet I feel as weak as I can possibly feel? Now, we're in good company. If Ravi Zacharias feels helpless, the intellect of this guy, the abilities that he has, it made me feel good as a pastor because there's many times where I felt this helplessness, genuine sorrow, but at the same time with a sense of helplessness to secure the problem, to make it better. G.K. Chesterton surmised that when belief in God becomes difficult, the tendency is to turn away from Him, but in heaven's name, to what? The belief in God is difficult. The tendency is to turn away from God, but to what? In heaven's name, to what? To the skeptic or the one who has been disappointed in his faith, his obvious answer to Chesterton's question may be to give up believing that there's somebody out there to take charge of your own life and live it out to the best of your own ability. But Zacharias points out that the Bible makes it clear that prayer is the intended line of connection from the heart of the praying person directly to the heart of God. Jesus himself practiced a lifestyle of prayer. He urged his disciples to imitate him by making it a part of his daily existence. His prayers represented prayer at its best and most sincere. I marvel at the impact of praying with a hurting person. Now hear this. I have prayed many times with someone who has claimed to be a skeptic and is living in a manner that supports that claim, only to finish my prayer, open my eyes, and see tears in their eyes. You ever prayed for someone that you know is not a believer and they've asked you to pray, or you've offered to pray for them in the situation that they're in? You raise your eyes open and you look at them in the face and there's tears there. What does that reveal about us? Although prayers remain a mystery to all of us, but especially to the one who lives apart from God, I have observed again and again that even the hardened heart retains a longing for the possibility of communicating with God. That's what that reveals. There's a longing in all of us that we want to talk to God. We want God to talk to us. It's evidence of by our presence here this morning that we want fellowship with God and with each other. We want to hear from God. It's a longing in us. So Jesus gives us some keys to prayer in our passage today. Number one is pray with expectation. Number two, pray with persistence. Number three, pray with perseverance. But we have to admit that anytime somebody tells us to bow our heads, if they go more than 30 seconds into prayer, all of us have a struggle to even keep our eyes closed for that amount of time, and we want to open our eyes or look around. And we have very little attention span, but we have a lot of words when we want to complain, right? We can tell you all day long about stuff. We could talk for half an hour about all the complaints that we have, but when it comes to prayer, we lose our words. Cowper wrote about that in an exhortation on prayer, that we have a tremendous amount of words available to us when we want to complain, but we run out of words when we want to pray. And so here we go. As we think about it in this keys to prayer, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray with expectation. Jesus starts right out of the gate, and he says, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Asking, pray expectantly. Pray with expectation. What are we expecting? Number one, it seems simple. God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. Secondly, God is willing to listen. God wants us to pray, and God is willing to listen. Calvin writes this: Christ presents the grace of his Father to those who pray. He tells that God is of himself prepared to listen to us, provided that we pray to him, and that his riches are at our command, provided we ask them. What's James say? We have not because we ask not. How many of us have been in trouble or had situations in our life where someone has asked us, so are you praying about it? I've asked many people when they come in and they've been telling me all that they have to complain about when it comes to their spouse, and I ask them, have you prayed about it? Oftentimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's yes. But have you prayed in the alignment of God, that God is wanting you to pray, and God is willing to listen? The third thing that we need to point out is that God taught us to pray. Now, why do I need to say that? Well, it's in Matthew 6. We can't just disconnect this passage from what's all Jesus has said before. And in chapter 6 and chapter 7, Jesus has been talking about praying. He even teaches us how to pray. He teaches the disciples, here's how you pray. And notice what he does. He designates our Father as the opening line, which indicates or implies that there must be a relationship. If you're going to pray and you expect God to answer, do you have a relationship with him? Is he your Father? Have you claimed Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so, our Father who art in heaven, it implies there's a relationship, and it implies that God is wanting us to pray because he's teaching us to pray and he's willing to listen to us. And so as we think about it, you look back in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray. It's talking about that they use lots of words. So keep it simple, keep it secret. Go into your prayer closet. Pray. That doesn't mean you never pray with other people. But we don't go out and try to bring a lot of attention to ourselves when we're praying to God. No, we shut the door And it says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And you, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he goes into chapter 7. But in chapter 6, he's talking about worry. What do we worry about? Food, fashion, future. And God says, I already know all you need, all those things. He says, what does he tell us to do? He says, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So pray with expectation. Don't pray with wrong motives. It hinders prayer. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God. That's what James says. So pray with expectation. Secondly, God tells us to pray with persistence. Seeking. Not only verbally asking God, but seeking. Seeking means it engages your will and your effort. That you're seeking out the truth of God because it's bridled by the truth of God. Prayer is bridled by the truth of God. Calvin, I think, said that. I'm not sure if it's him. But bridled means, you ever had a bridle and put it in a horse's mouth? And that thing, you see that tongue going and get the bridle in there? And then you pull, you can steer that horse wherever you want, at least most of the time. You know. You can put that horse anywhere you want. It'll turn left or right. But bridled by the word of God, so not only are you gauging your will, but your effort. Seeking means our prayers are followed by our endeavors. We ask while we're seeking the scriptures. We're looking and listening all the time. We're asking God, seeking the scriptures and looking and listening for the answers. We're willing to ferret it out, is what one writer said that the word seek means. Are you willing to ferret it out? It's not just a throw it up there or throw it out there and merely just throwing up a hope. But God's saying, ask. Verbalize what you want and need from me. Peter said, you know, to pray, to take your cares to God because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. God is wanting us to pray. God is willing for us to pray. God wants us to come with the expectation that he is listening. And that we should pray with that expectation. We should pray with persistency. I mean, kids never give up on something. They come and they look for something. They're seeking it out. They never give up. And every time they have a chance, they'll tell you, yeah, I need one of those. I need one of those. They're always talking to you all the time, everywhere you go, in the car, at the mall, before they go to bed at night. They're telling you all of the things that they want. They're praying. They're asking with persistence. That's persistence, isn't it? Sometimes it's a little too persistent. But you pray with persistence. Next, you pray, you're looking and listening, you pray with perseverance. You're knocking. I thought this was interesting. Knocking, what does that imply? It takes us to God's door. You're willing to walk up to the door of God's house and disturb God. You're willing to risk it. You're not, this is something you really want to ask God. This is something you're truly seeking, but you're also knocking on the door, and you do it with patience. You're waiting through during delay and difficulty. You're willing to sit there all the time. If you're coming to see God, you want to see it. You're willing to deal with delay and difficulty. Delay and difficulty meaning that maybe it takes God a while to get up out of his chair. You ever went to somebody's house where you have to wait a little bit for them? You're waiting there and you're thinking, are they home? And then you hear a little noise. But now I find the experience kind of maddening when I walk up to your house and I'm willing to knock on your door and disturb your day. I have a ring thing on your door and I'm wondering what you're looking at. And I'm like, and I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to delay it. Patience during delay and difficulty. That's what knocking implies. Patience. Matthew Henry writes this, we must not only ask but knock. We must come to God's door, must ask importunately, not only pray but plead and wrestle with God. We must seek diligently. We must continue knocking. We must persevere in prayer. And the use means that we must endure to the end of the duty. The model or the general pattern of God here is what Jesus is giving us, is that it's an aspect of keeping on asking, keeping on seeking, keeping on knocking. Keep it. Keep doing it. Keep coming to me. Because what God says for everyone in verse 8 comes with a promise. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. And then he takes us to an illustration to the earthly father, the picture of the father. So I'm okay to use the father, the earthly father. What's the father like? What does God say that God is like? He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Your father wouldn't do that. Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? Your father wouldn't do that. Give him something that he really doesn't need, like a stone. Something he can't really use. He asks for bread and gives him stone. He asks for a fish and gives him a serpent. Your father wouldn't do that. He says this in verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to ask him? Did you hear that? God wants to give us good things. Good things. But what does the children need to know about the Father? They must trust that the Father wants to give them good things. Bridled by the truth of God, of who God is. Do you give your children everything they ask for when they ask for it? No, absolutely not. It would hurt them. It could really hurt them. You don't want to give them anything that will hurt them. You may make them wait. But they need to trust that you want to give them good things. If my kids, if I would give my kids everything if I could. Not all the time. Not always when they want it. But at the right time, I would do it in a heartbeat. My wife and I find ourselves doing things. My wife and I walk around the store. My wife talks about things that they like, that they want. She's going to pack away before they go to college, or we're going to send them, or we're going to take with us, because she's always thinking about them. They're never off of her mind, and they're never off of my mind, even though they're away. The Father in heaven, the expectation of us, of God himself, is that he wants us in a relationship. He's willing to listen to us. He sent his son to die for us. He intercedes on our behalf. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. He will talk to the Father all the time for us. We are to pray with the expectation. We are to be persistent in our seeking, in that seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and praying with perseverance implies that we're willing to pray without seeking. Listen to this. God is listening. 1 Thessalonians, you ever want to know what God's will is? 1 Thessalonians is 5, chapter 5, verse 17, or it's 16 through 18. It's rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this, it says, is the will of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. You ever want to know the will of God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. God wants us to pray. And to give thanks in all circumstances. That's the hard part, isn't it? You remember when the man that was, his heart was broken because he had prayed. He felt like God had short, did not, he came up short on his end of the deal. We need to caution. Does prayer and our communication with God always mean that God's going to always do what we want him to do? Prayer, we need to understand, is our connection to heaven and heaven's connection to us. And that's why we always need to keep the lines open. But what about when we're suffering in all circumstances? And remember, when it's really difficult, does God always tell us that we're going to get, everything is going to work out hunky-dory at that moment, at that time? No, he absolutely does not. And I'll give you a Bible example. It comes from Paul. When we think about praying, Paul asked 3 times for a thorn in his flesh to be removed from God, by God. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We know that God doesn't always give us what we want at the time that we want it. And that includes healing. But God says, my grace is sufficient to Paul. When you look in your Bibles in the epistles in the back, there's a statement that says, I left Trophimus in Miletus because he was sick. This is Paul who raised people from the dead, who healed sick people with his prayers. And then there's a lot of people out there that says, just name it and claim it, and it'll be done. That's not true. That's not held up in Scripture. So what do we do with that when we feel helpless? We need to keep the lines of communication open. We need to tell them that God's grace is sufficient, that we don't understand everything, that His ways are not our ways. Paul said, three times he pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My friend, keep the lines of prayer open. God wants us to pray. God is willing to listen. He reminds us to pray expectantly, to pray persistently with perseverance. Alistair Begg says it reminds us that not only does the Father love it when we ask Him for what we need, but He also loves it when we give Him what we can't handle. And some of us this morning are carrying problems around with us that it's not only the explanation, but some of you will know this is true because it will become apparent to you as you think about it. But carrying problems around with us that owe to our pride, that we think we can just soldier on. Well, you know what I'm finding out? I can't soldier on all the time. And I don't have all the answers. But I trust the Father. And the Father said, He wants to give us good things. And that someday, someday is coming soon. And that all things will work out for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. I've stood beside a lot of beds. I've watched a lot of people hurt. I had a friend that taught me in high school that I met. I ran into him at the first church. What do you think of this? I ran into him at the first church that I interviewed at, and he was on the pastoral relations committee. He taught me in high school. He was the math teacher. Now he had been moved to Canton, Ohio, and our paths came together at that point. This man sang in a choir. This man sang in a praise quartet group. He was a God-fearing man. But this past Thursday at age 60, he passed away. I can't explain that. I have no answers for that. But God's grace is sufficient. All things will work out for the good. For those who are called according to His purpose, we just expect to trust the Father is good, and He wants us to give us good things. Don't give up. Be persistent in prayer and persevere until the time of His coming. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many things out there that we have burdens for. As we stop to pray, we have not plummeted the depths of the pain and suffering of everyone here. And there's people that have sought You, that have needed an answer, and maybe feels like that man who is brokenhearted. We don't have all the answers, friend, but we know that God is good, and He's good all the time, and that His gracious love is seen in Jesus, and that He wants to have communion with us, and that we as His children must trust Him, that the Father has good things for us, to expect that, to consistently and persistently seek Him out. Lord, as we come to you now, help us to persevere through these times. In Jesus' name, amen.